Hi guys.
Hi.
Hi. We don't do intros.
We don't do intros. They're
Fuck
stupid.
intros.
Yeah.
So today we're gonna talk
Okay, but
about.
like, you gotta tell them who you are, though, because otherwise, how are they
Oh
gonna
fuck,
know?
sorry. Sorry. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I'm Amelia. I run Neurotic Jewish Gay. Yeah.
I'm Debbie. I run Roots Metals. You also run JVP Parody, which is
JV
important.
Parody.
Yeah,
Yeah. Oh,
JV
yeah.
Parody. It's relevant to this
Oh, it's
episode.
yes. I run JV Parody. Follow it if you don't, because I'm psychotic. Yeah. So people were very captivated by what was it? By the Hamas. I'm sorry, JV. That was an actual mistake. Like Freudian, but that was an actual mistake. People were fascinated by the JVP Haggadah and also the JVP article about Purim. Rabbi Lynn, I think her name is Lynn Gottlieb, she wrote an article about what should we have done with Haman. It is as insane as you would expect. And yeah, we're going to run through it.
First of all, I want to say we're both going to be in Israel for Purim, and what's your costume going to be?
Fuck, I don't know. You have such a good one. I kind
I
of want to
haven't.
copy it.
We should do it together. Oh my
We
God.
should.
But you need to
Should we
find.
do it?
Okay, I already ordered shit on Amazon, but you live in somewhere where you can buy shit easily.
Or I can buy shit on Saturday.
Okay, you need a blue wig,
Fuck.
or like
Okay.
a crazy color.
I'll
But,
find one.
well, I guess it's official then. We're dressing as a Jews.
As a Jews. So what have you got, Debbie? What
So
have you bought?
I got a blue wig, like a blue like short hair wig. I got a bunch of like pins for like my shirt or my sweater or whatever.
You cut it out.
One of them is like a
I'm on.
oh fuck.
Wait, you cut out. I'm
What?
on the edge of my seat here.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, you got
Okay.
wigs.
I got a blue wig with like bangs and like kind of like to the shoulder hair. I don't know how I'm gonna put that on
Amazing.
because my hair is long, so I don't know how I'm gonna do that. I don't know how to put on wigs, but I'm gonna do that. And then I have a bunch of pins for like your shirt or your sweater or whatever. One of them is like a swastika, like crossed out, so like no Nazis. And then
I wait, sorry, go on.
one of them is like the pride flag. And
Oh
then
no.
one of them says Free Palestine. I felt kind of annoyed that I had to spend money on that, but it's okay.
So with the Nazi, with the swastika crossed out, someone actually wore that at my undergrad. Like my undergrad was as like caricature as one would expect. And like when I saw that for the first time, I was kind of like, not to be like fucking annoying, but I was a little triggered because like it's still like
It's still
to see
like,
on a college campus is like wild.
no, it's stupid, but I'm committed to the costume.
No, you have to be committed. I think it's a great
And
costume.
then I might have, I went through a vegan phase,
Shut up.
yeah.
You're gonna have a vegan badge?
Well, if I can find it, I don't know, it was a long time ago, but, okay, so this is the part I feel conflicted about because, like a keffiyeh, because
No, you can't wear a keffiyeh.
I can't, because I'll be like accused of, now they will accuse me of cultural appropriation, so I can't do
Yeah,
that.
you'll get so canceled so quick.
But everyone else can wear it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, yeah, no, I'm not gonna do that. Sadly. Not sadly, sadly, like I wanna wear it, just sadly to commit to the costume
You have to go all in.
of how like embarrassing these Jews are. They're so, oh my God,
It's gonna be so funny.
they're wearing these quote unquote like anti-racist pins, but like they're like actually so racist.
Yeah.
So
They're so
anyway.
fucking racist. It's
Yeah.
kind of insane. Should we start? Okay, I mean it's Purim, like Purim before Passover, before Pesach. So should we like we should go in the order of
Yeah,
Purim?
let's go in the order of the Hebrew calendar.
Yeah, I know JVP thinks that's like really racist, but it is what it is. I wonder if they like Amanda's fucking mouse pad. I wonder if they ever like listen to us.
I
Like,
don't
could
think
you
we're
imagine?
that popular.
Okay, I would have said that as well, but they tried to have JV Parody taken down so many
That's
times,
true.
and I know it was them because Instagram told me, like accidentally. They were like, yeah, someone's been reporting you as impersonating them, and I'm like, you can't see like the giant shit in the middle of the JVP thing. Anyway, I ended up like removing it, but they were watching, and they also
They
like,
also
not
edited
that
their website.
I, yes, that's what I was gonna say. Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't get away with that shit anymore.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I hope, like, let's see how many followers they have.
It's disgusting. It's like
I
one and a
know.
half million. I want to see their analytics, honestly.
Hold on 1 second. I have to log into my Finsta because I am blocketh.
Oh yeah.
1.2 million followers.
Yeah, that's terrifying. And they grew. After October 7, they
Yeah.
really grew. Which is mortifying, but you know
Even though,
what?
like, literally on October 7th, they blamed the occupation on.
Yeah. I remember taking screenshots. I was like, I'm gonna take screenshots for when, like, because no one is gonna believe us. And they literally, JFreg, if not now, and JVP marched to Chuck Schumer's house on October 7th to demanding that they like cut all aid and all arms to Israel
Here's like
on the 7th.
this is what they expected of us. So there's a bunch of terrorists shooting, and they just expected Israel to go like this.
Yeah.
Hands
And
up, just kill us, it's fine. We
yeah,
deserve
it's
it.
fine. That's a really, really good. Okay, that's why I think we need to make this episode because the way they behaved on October 7 and they behave after every terrorist attack is really reflected in their, it's not even an interpretation, in their commentary on the Purim and Passover stories.
So
So
there's a reason they have to change Judaism and make it this ridiculous parody of itself. And it's because, okay, so the other day I made a post about the universalization, I can't say that word, of the Holocaust.
universalization. It's a hot, yeah.
Universalization of the Holocaust. And some account, let me give you a shout out so you can get followers. Some account called Unlearning Zionism.
That's original.
Yeah, I know. Basically, also, I hate the term unlearning.
Oh yeah, that's on my like list of terms that I hate. It's on there
Like,
with like folks and
why can't
like.
we say we're learning this? Like, if you were something bad and you were learning to not be something bad, don't say unlearning, just say you're learning the good things. I don't know. Because I just like, since when is unlearning a good thing?
Like never.
But
I
I
guess they
guess,
think they're unlearning propaganda, but like
yeah.
still.
But how about learning why the propaganda is wrong, not unlearn? Anyway, that's irrelevant. So, but it also reflective of the society we're in. So they, Mr. Unlearning Zionism, or Mrs., I don't know, I'm not misgendering you, I just don't know who you are. They basically said, so I make this post saying universalizing the Holocaust is bad, because XYZ, the Holocaust is unique in these aspects, and equating it to whatever else is a disservice to the education about both things. Because if something's not the same and you're teaching that it's the same, you're learning wrong. Like, you're learning the wrong thing. And so not only that, but then you're like stripping Jews of our own experience and like giving it to everyone else and then silencing us when we speak about it. And like, you know, so it creates this situation where like everyone compares the Holocaust to this, that, and the other, but no one cares about like the actual destruction that the Holocaust left behind, like Holocaust survivors or like intergenerational trauma or like whatever, the poverty of Holocaust survivors. So,
No, I was just going to say, it's like insane. I don't know why. Maybe it's like one person like trolling me on different accounts. And I know this is also a talking point, but somebody keeps saying like, your like Holocaust survivor ancestors like would look at you and be so disappointed, and I'm like, I'm gonna ignore what you're saying, but like, are they not aware of like how many Holocaust survivors like fought in 48? Like,
no,
bro,
they don't know.
You just
anything.
Like don't.
They're too busy. They're too busy on learning to learn anything. So
honestly, so, wait, I was. Sorry, I wanted to make sure at some point before we go to the Purim stuff, do you know the Purim story? Like, I know it's sorta.
Yeah, I know it because I've done posts on it.
Oh, slay. Okay.
But so, what's it called? So, this person said that my post, hold on, I'm gonna read it because it was so stupid.
You guys, like, you might, we do.
Wait, what did they do?
That I thought about the email. With the JP, they signed me up for the JVP emails and said my name was like racist. So now I get emails, dear racist.
Well, from JVP. Someone signed me up to Scientology. So.
Oh, okay. That's not good.
No. So this person goes, I'm working on an infographic responding to many Hasbara takes that like these that feed into the Zionist Holocaust uniqueness narrative. It posits that anti-Semitism cannot be combated like other forms of racism, but rather the only solution for anti-Semitism is to create a Jewish ethnostate in historic Palestine. And so I'm like, okay, first of all, my post had nothing to do with Zionism. Or I don't even think I mentioned Israel. Like, it was specifically about Holocaust comparisons that are inaccurate, that are harmful, and that are, like, a hindrance to Holocaust education. And then they said that my post is saying that the only way to end anti-Semitism is to create a Jewish ethnostate in Palestine. My post said nothing about how to end anti-Semitism because, first of all, I don't know how to end anti-Semitism. And I don't think Israel is the answer to ending anti-Semitism. I think Israel has kept a whole lot of Jews safe, which are two different things. But anyway, so I was thinking, my post is about accurate Holocaust education and why inaccurate education is bad. And they said that I'm feeding into a Zionist Hasbara narrative. And so it made me think that if, first of all, this is like a fucking self-own, because you're saying that, what's it called? An accurate Holocaust education might lead one to conclude that Zionism is whatever, right? And so this is what JVP, like, why they do what they do. They have to change things to justify their anti-Zionist stance. Because if you have accurate education about Jewish history, anti-Semitism, Jewish holidays, Jewish culture, whatever, then it pretty much leads most people to conclude that Zionism makes sense. And so we have to, for us to think that Zionism makes no sense, we have to have inaccurate education. So that's why JVP does what it does.
That's absolutely right. And I think the other thing as well is, like, even if you leave Israel for a second, not that you even mentioned it in the first place, but even if you leave that, like, we discussed a few episodes ago about, like, Jewish communal security in the diaspora. Like, JVP is against shit like this.
Right.
Like, they don't want that either. They're like, you know, see our collective liberation episode, because can't say more than that. But it's just fucking Delulu. And yeah, I mean, you guys will see. For those who, should we go into the Purim thing, or do you think we're...
Let's do it. Hold on. I have a, let me read out my post on Purim, like, when we actually do the the story, because I'm gonna get it wrong, so
so the TLDR of this is, do you want to get your post up?
I'm getting it up.
Okay, slay. So the TLDR of this is Haman, this funny little man called Haman with a Hamantaschen shaped hat, a stupid fucking little hat, wanted to slaughter all the Jews, and he planned to slaughter all the Jews. And there was, at one point, King Ahasuerus, like, didn't like his wife anymore, and something about a donkey, or I don't know, Debbie will tell it. But yes, basically, Haman is, they tried to genocide the Jews, is...
So let's do I'm just gonna do an abridged version, because so basically in the 4th century BCE there's this king in Persia who gets rid of his wife. Some accounts say she was killed, but I don't believe the Tanakh says that. I think it was like in the I don't know. I'm going to leave that out. Sorry. Okay. So in the 4th century BCE, Persia, the king gets rid of his queen and he needs a new queen. So he has like a beauty pageant and he selects Queen Esther, or Esther, who was Jewish, but she doesn't let him know that she's Jewish. Then her uncle, who is it, her uncle or her cousin?
I feel like it's her cousin, but, like, don't worry about me.
Hold on. Where is this motherfucker in my story? No, it's her uncle, Mordecai.
Yeah.
Finds out that Haman, the viceroy, I think. He's the king's prime minister. Haman is the king's prime minister, and Mordecai, Esther's uncle, finds out that he basically has the approval of the king to kill all the Jews in the kingdom. And that, So Haman ordered everyone in all the land that they could, like, rise up and kill the Jews.
Oh, yeah! Didn't they tell them to, like, bow or something?
No, so the reason Haman wanted to kill all the Jews is because Mordecai refused to bow before him, because Jews only bow before God or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
So Mordecai finds out that they have this plan to kill all the Jews. And so he tells Esther, and then Esther tells the king that she's Jewish. And the king is, like, infuriated that Haman wants to, like, kill all the Jews. And so he sends a decree that basically is, like, you know, the Jews are not going to be killed. Haman and his 10 sons, are going to be hanged, and the Jews have permission to kill all the people that are trying to kill them. That's the story.
Okay, slay. Yeah, great summary. Don't worry about the donkey and the whole, and, you know, you can read up on that later, but if you really want to, if you're, like, that interested. So this article, also on Purim, if you're not familiar, like, Like, I love, this is why I love Judaism. Like the kid, like, in, like, Hebrew school, you, like, what shall we do with Haman? And it's, like, hang him and his 10 sons. And, like, every time, like, they read Haman's name, you, like, make noise. Like, they have, like, what, like, rattles or shit. Like, we're still pissed off about this, you know, a bajillion years later. And, like, honestly, like, yeah, slay. Like, yeah.
So, JVP. Don't
fuck with the Jews. Yeah, so JVP, but I don't know. I think this is really interesting. Okay, so this article, What Shall We Do With Haman, talks about collective liberation and justice, and we'll read some excerpts for you. But I do want to point out that Debbie and JV Parody made a post about JVP all the way back. I think it's pinned. If it's not pinned, we'll figure it out. You'll be able to find it. But when we did this post, we found out that there's an organization called Code Pink that worked closely-ish with JVP. Code Pink goes on delegation propaganda trips to places like Iran and China and Venezuela. Anyway, the author of this, What Shall We Do With Haman, Rabbi Lynn Gottlieb, attended the delegation trip in Iran in, I think, 2006. And yeah, Persia is modern day Iran. So I just thought that was like a little, I don't know. I thought that was funny.
I'm reading this article and I'm like already like, this is fucking hilarious. How do we transform the telling of the Purim tale so it is in alignment with the nonviolent social change strategies and tactics, like BDS, that have come to be associated with JVP? Nonviolent, they say. But they fucking essentially support October 7th and, like, Hamas propaganda, like the fucking fake-ass hostage letter.
Yeah. That was... like, I think that was honestly the worst thing that JVP has, like, ever done.
I know the family of that hostage as well. I mean, they're not hostage anymore, but, yeah, like, that was complete and utter bullshit. And, like, the cousin of that hostage that, quote-unquote, wrote the letter, I think she did write the letter, but obviously it was under pressure. That's why, like, everyone knows this. If you're a hostage, you don't have the freedom to say what you want. But the cousin of this hostage, he, like, literally commented on the post and he was like, please, like, stop exploiting this letter that my cousin either didn't write or wrote under pressure. Like, like, this is so... Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
But the whole thing is that they're saying that they want to change the story of Purim because they support nonviolence, yet they've shown is that they support violence.
Yeah. It's okay, so this is like my favorite line in the article, and I need to read it. As we prepare to read the Megillah, Jewish Palestine solidarity advocates will ponder what to do with the parts of the Purim tale that describe Jews killing their enemies as an act of revenge and celebrating their death with feasting. Slay. I think that's fucking awesome.
This, like, sucks, what so do you stupid. Mean?
Like, what will the advocates do? Fucking get over it. Build a bridge. Jesus. Fucking Christ.
There's another line that I'm just like, this is so... Yeah. Oh, telling stories that demonize and kill off your enemy is not a welcome contribution to Jewish life.
It's all of Jewish life.
I think it's an extremely welcome contribution that Hitler died. I wish he hadn't killed himself. But I wish he would have been hanged.
Yeah, I wish, like, we would have got it, like Eichmann.
Yeah.
Look,
I'm gonna get canceled more than I am already.
Oh yeah, Starbucks. Oh my god, Billie Eilish. Like, no, but so, and you'll see this. It, like, this is our whole hype. You'll see this in the next in the net when we go through the Haggadah. JVP's thing is, if it comes to us, or those who want to kill us, it's neither. Meaning, it's, like, meaning, like, we need to lay down. Like, I would rather, like, die and, you know, the people who want to kill me can live. I need to read this because I found, something that just encapsulates, like, exactly what. Okay, someone posted this on October 11. I'm going to just read part of it, but it says, I was asked why I'm an anti-Zionist Jew, and this is what I said. Because God forgive me, I would rather Jews be gone entirely from this world, but leave the way we lived as a force for good and tikkun olam, than live if the cost is the infliction of mass suffering, because ending the occupation is morally right, and that is what should be done no matter what.
Okay.
Leaving just facts aside about the occupation, you know, whatever, that's their whole thing. They would rather Jews die as victims than survive as, you know,
and survivors. It's like absurd because, like, imagine that you are a woman who is in a domestic violence relationship and this guy tries to kill you and you end up killing them in self-defense. Mm-hmm. Like, most people on the left would be like, it was self-defense. I mean, like, most people would say it was self-defense unless they're, like, crazy, like, misogynist or something. And so why does that not apply to Jews?
It's honestly insane.
Like, and then I've seen, like, so many fucking tweets being like, preemptive self-defense is not self-defense. And it's like, yes, it is.
You should let them, like, what, like, grab the gun out before you, like, you know, do whatever. Like, let them hurt you.
And let that's, them, like, a sentiment. Let them get a little bit of an advantage, and then
they need a head start. Give them a head start, at least. Come on.
Like, what?
That's, like, the entire thing that this is predicated on. And it's the same with collective liberation, with the bullshit collective liberation. I'm on my spiel. Listen to our collective liberation episode. I don't even want to say it's childlike naivety because that's too generous. It's just like they don't give a shit. Like, they care about how you look. And, you know, remember when Golda Meir said, like, she said something like, I would rather, like, be hated and alive than like, sympathized with and dead.
Yeah, it's like dead.
She said something to the effect of,
It just also, I want to point something out about this whole, like, new quote-unquote progressive Jewish progressive, but they're not progressive because they're fucking racist anti-Semites, but quote-unquote, like, progressive Jewish reimagining of the Purim story. I want to say something about this because, so there was this JTA, so Jewish Telegraphic Agency article, basically being like, let's reimagine the Purim ending. And the thing is that, first of all, I want to go on a little spiel. JTA is, like, over 100 years old, and it's, like, a phenomenal resource of, like, news. Like, their archives are incredible. I use them as a primary source all the time. Unfortunately, I'm not sure when this happened, but they got bought out by the same people that own Hey Alma. So,
oh, fuck.
So they
fucking
have...
chair.
Yeah, they have a new angle, so to speak. So
hashtag save JTA.
Seriously. So they wrote this thing about, like, how hanging Haman is wrong and killing all the people that try to kill us is wrong. And so someone commented, I'm going to give you a shout out, Sharon. She goes, I'm sorry, but it shows some ignorance about the story. These weren't revenge killings. It wasn't, you wanted to do this to me, so I'm doing to you. In fact, when you consider the size of the kingdom, 75,000 isn't that much. So what actually happened? Haman's decree was that the people of the kingdom could murder every Jew without consequence, sort of a quote-unquote the purge specifically for Jews. The king's counter decree wasn't that Jews could do the same. It was that Jews could defend themselves from anyone attempting to follow Haman's decree. And that's what they did. They defended themselves from those who wished to kill them. It's not we were like, you lose. Okay, first of all, let me say something real quick. First, there's no, let me, like, my Jinsta historian hat, put it on. There's enormous doubt that this is a real story. It's probably historical fiction. It's one of the few stories in, like, the later Tanakh situation that have very confusing basis in reality. So, like,
like, yeah.
So, like, you know, like, we know, like, there is a kingdom of Judah, there is a kingdom of Israel. We know that the Babylonian captivity happened, the Assyrian captivity happened. This is a little confusing as to where the fuck this came from, especially because mm-hmm. it's later. So it's like, what the fuck? So there's some theories and there's whatever, but most historians think that it's probably a mix of, like, Persian myth with, like, historical fiction and a little bit of reality. So mm-hmm. so this probably didn't happen, that we went and killed 75,000 people. But, if it did, the story is not that we just went, oh, like, you wanted to kill us, now we'll kill all of you. No, it was, if you're trying to follow this decree that said you could kill us, then we will kill you so we don't die. Mm-hmm. So this whole, like, reimagining it to make it, like, more palatable and anti-violence or whatever makes no sense because they're getting the story wrong to begin with.
Yeah. It doesn't even matter if this is real or not. It's just like...
Yeah.
It's real in the sense that it's real right now. It's happening right now. They're mm-hmm. calling for season, like, right now. Like, I need to, like...
They were calling for a fucking ceasefire on October 8th. While there's still terrorists running around.
Literally. I check my phone. Rockets and like, JVP saying ceasefire now. It's unbelievable.
Like, they still had some of the police stations, these motherfuckers, and they were saying ceasefire. To us, not to them.
Yeah. This is like, should we read a little bit of this now?
Yeah.
Which, is there anyone like you want to take? Like.
You start. You do it.
Okay. Okay. I'm like obsessed. I'm sorry. My friend Isaac, like, I remember like 2 years ago, tweeted about this and I have not been able to stop talking about it since. Yeah, well, what should we do with Haman? I ask again. Restorative justice ideas stream forth. Haman should intern with Albert, the local Jewish baker, and learn how to feed Jewish people. Haman and his sons should take lessons in cultural sensitivity and prejudice reduction with Tanya C., an expert educator on this topic in our community. Instead of jail time, Haman should work at an interfaith center so he can pay reparations to those injured by his edict.
Oh my God. The kids always suggest he attend cheder and study for bar mitzvah. He's not Jewish.
The kids figure that by exposing Haman to their favorite cheder activities, he would come to love the Jews of Shushan. I can teach him Hebrew, volunteers Simon. Sorry, Simon's a fucking pussy, first of all. Second of all...
Also.
Like, okay. Not to be an asshole, but, you know.
Why is it on the Jewish community to have to deal with this person that hates... Like, why is it our job to make him a better person. It's not our fucking job. Like, always. I don't want to be in a room with this person and teach him how to bake challah. Like, I don't.
Why?
Like, why should this asshole be enforced into my space so that he's a better person? I don't, like, that's his goddamn problem. Like,
no, you're right. I'm not approaching this.
It's so confusing because, well, not confusing. If you come back to the source issue is, and the issue is that they're anti-Semites, but it's logically, it would be confusing because these are the same exact people that say that, for example, it's not Black people's job to teach white people about racism.
It's Jews' job to teach Haman.
But we...
his bar mitzvah.
We have to emotionally drain ourselves, intellectually drain ourselves, and whatever, just so this anti-Semite becomes a better person. Like, do people not see these insane double standards?
Assuming he's a... like, assuming a genocidal maniac wants to learn how to... I just... like, you're teaching a bunch just to, like, put your hands down and lay down and die, which is, I guess, what they're asking us to do now, so it's not that different. But, like, also, honestly...
I would love to know what they would have been doing in the lead-up to the Holocaust, because I have a feeling.
It starts with German, and it ends with national Jews. But, I digress. I think, and honestly, sue me for this, cancel me for this, I don't give a shit. I love the Jewish way. I think if someone's trying to kill you, if someone poses a threat to you, you know, and you beat them and you kill them, of course you're going to feast and get drunk. And that's awesome. You think you should wait? No, fuck that. Don't fuck with the Jews. Sorry, I'm not going to lay down and die.
It's such a, like, I have a post about that. I have a post about everything, but
yeah,
wrote a post called When Jews Defend Ourselves.
It's poetic. This is actually poetic.
Okay, it wasn't that long ago. It was last year. But basically, I noted in the post a pattern that when we defend ourselves, it's like either we don't defend ourselves and we die, or we defend ourselves and we are demonized and reframed as the oppressor. And this literally goes back to even before the story of Purim. There is an example for... okay, I'm going to read this to you. It's just easier. So in the 5th century BCE, Egyptians revolted against Persian rule. The Jews of the city of Elephantine, who'd been well integrated in Egyptian society for centuries, were attacked in pogroms. Their places of worship were looted and destroyed, and Jewish women were arrested without cause or explanation. Most importantly, when Jews attempted to fight back, they were portrayed as colonists and as tools of the Persian Empire. 5th century BCE.
Maybe that's where the Soviets got it from.
They knew it was gonna work because it kept working.
That's insane. Should we...
I'm not gonna read you, like, my whole post, but... so, I'm gonna go to all the way to the Russian Civil War in 1917. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Russian Civil War, 1917 to 1923, was a multi-party civil war that broke out in the Russian Empire in the aftermath of the overthrow of the Russian monarchy. In total, it's estimated that 7 million to 12 million people died in this war, many of them civilians. Most estimates calculate that up to 100,000 Jews were murdered in pogroms. The Soviet authorities themselves put the number at 200,000. In total, over 2,000 pogroms took place. At least 60,000 Jewish refugees fled the region, and millions were internally displaced. One of the main barriers in organizing Jewish self-defense groups in pre-Holocaust Europe was that oftentimes Jews were afraid to fight back, lest they be accused of starting or prolonging the violence. Kaufman, a survivor and eyewitness to the 1903 Kishinev pogrom, one of the most horrific pogroms in Jewish history, attested as such. After the pogroms, when some of the perpetrators were put on trial, many Jews who'd fought back with nothing but kitchen knives and clubs were charged with prolonging the violence. They were sent to jail. And it's a pattern, evidently.
Mm-hmm. We see the same shit, like, with, like, people arresting, like, Nazis, and people are like, oh, they're so old, and then they go and, like,
yeah,
they go into the trial, and they pretend they're dead, and, you know, it's like, they, like, then they're recorded, like, an hour earlier, like, going to the supermarket and, like, pushing around a shopping cart. I don't know if that's really like, like, specific.
No, it's like, okay, like, or when the Pittsburgh...
That happened with...
When the Pittsburgh shooter...
Devil Next Door, yeah.
Okay, when the Pittsburgh shooter was sentenced to death... I don't...
I remember that.
Okay, I'm not... I don't support the death penalty unless it's Eichmann, but... but... Or a Sinwar. But, if you're going... So, groups like JVP were very vocal against this, sentencing. I forgot the word.
Mm-hmm.
They were very vocal against sentencing this... scumbag to death, and I was just like, there's so many people on death row that are there on fucking ridiculous false charges or like,
yeah,
whatever, and this is who you were like putting all your energy to?
Well, yeah, because it gets them attention.
But I guarantee you, if he had gone into a black church and shot all these people, JVP wouldn't be fucking doing that.
Of course they wouldn't. They wouldn't.
They just... They cannot stand for Jews to not, like, be like, okay, well, I'd rather die a victim than defend myself or than hold... a fucking white supremacist mass shooter accountable.
There's, like, a lot of narcissism in it, though. Like, they love, like, I know a lot of, like, anti-Zionists go in, like, probably think they're really annoying, and they do, but there's also, like, there's this picture of, what's the name of the sect again? I always butcher it, but they're all, the rabbis always at the Palestine marches.
Natsurei Karta?
It is. Like smiling and like shaking this guy's hand, like, and the crowd's like cheering him on, like he's a fucking superstar. And that,
it's narcissism.
That is the, they, it gets them so much like love and so much attention.
Yeah, it's like an ego and thing.
It is such an, if you watch, also like watch The Devil Next Door. Did you watch that with
a long time ago?
Okay, but do you remember the Israeli lawyer in that that worked?
Yeah, with... He was like, he felt like such, like he was like morally
such
superior.
A piece of shit. Yeah,
right.
This guy, we'll link it, but it was basically when not Eichmann, another guy, Demjanjuk,
something,
Ivan the Terrible, did like really crazy shit at Treblinka when. We got him, basically. The States took him to Israel. They couldn't find anyone who would defend him in Israeli law. And, like, because, like, why would you want to defend a Nazi, especially in, like, that time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This guy is, like, you look at him and it's, like, he's one of us. Like, he's, like, no, when it starts off, he starts off, like, I think they make him likable, like, typical Israeli, he's like, yeah, they, I didn't want to do that, but he's the bot, like, he did shit like that, like, very typically is, and then you watching, and you realize it's just, like, this guy's a piece of shit, he loves the attention, he, and it's like JVP, like, the, because they just exude, some type of, I'm not like them, like,
mm-hmm. It's like pick me, behavior.
It is. It's exactly pick me. And it's really not different. I mean,
no.
I don't know.
I think, like, if you're like, oh, it's only with left-wing anti-Semites, but then with when this literal white supremacist shot a bunch of Jews at a synagogue, they also felt bad that he got the death penalty. Like, yeah. I don't really give a shit. Like, I don't care. Like,
yeah.
I have other people on death row to worry about. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, like, if you...
Yeah.
I don't feel, like, really any type of way about, like, the death penalty. Like, it's not something I'm, like, I don't know. But if that was a huge issue for me and I was very, very, very against it, I would not put that at the top of my, that's not the most compelling case for it.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
Like, there's literally so many people there on, like, trumped up charges or, like, that are there when they shouldn't be there. And this is the guy that you're, like, going out on a limb for. Like, that's so stupid.
Yeah.
And telling.
Yeah. Okay, real quick, I just want to say, like, I'm not going to get into the whole Passover story, but this is, like, very important to the story. When Pharaoh finally says, like, lets the Jews free, the Jews are on their way out, and, like, everything's good, but they're kind of rushing. And then dickhead Pharaoh changes his mind and is like, no, fuck them, I want my slaves back. So they go and run after the Jews, and there's a point where the Jews, they get to, the Red Sea, they're there, and Moses is leading the Jewish people, and he's like, fuck, we've got Pharaoh chasing us on one side, we've got the sea on the other side, what are we gonna do? And then Moses, I don't know, looks at God and is like, fuck, and then the sea splits, and then when the sea splits, the Jews can cross through, right? But can cross to the other side. The sea splits, the Jews go in, they're crossing, still being chased by Pharaoh's army. They're rushing, they get to the end of the sea, onto the other side, and then what happens? I should be a rabbi. And then what happens? God closes the sea, and obviously all the motherfuckers, they drown because they're in the sea. They chase them into the sea, right? Mm-hmm. They could have gone and then said, you know, they could have been like, should we do this? Whatever, it doesn't matter. Point is, either Jews were slaughtered or kidnapped and taken back into slavery, or Pharaoh's army drowns. Okay. With that, this is what is at the front of the Haggadah. It's a time we cannot cross the sea until we carry each other. All of us refugees, all of us prophets, no more taking turns on history's wheel, trying to collect old debts no one can pay. The sea will not open that way. This time that country is what we promise each other. Our rage pressed cheek to cheek until tears flood the space, until there are no enemies left. Because this time no one will be left to drown, and all of us must be chosen. This time, it's all of us or none.
First of all, I want to say something about Please. That quote. This is JVP that continuously talks about the right of return and how Palestinians need to essentially be repaid for the Nakba. Yet here, they said, no more taking turns on history's wheel. Trying to collect old debts no one can pay. Everyone can collect debts, especially Palestinians. Jews can fuck off.
Exactly. This is literally, like, proof of survival of the fittest, right? It's, like, Darwin was so right about this.
I just can't.
Yeah.
It's just sad. Have a little self-respect. A little bit. A smidge.
It's, like, so embarrassing.
Because, you know, these are not the standards that they put on anyone else, just Jews. Mm-mm. So it's like, why do you hate yourself? I'm so sorry you hate yourself. Like, that's so sad. And I'm not saying it as in, like, the, like, oh, like, anti-Zionist or self-hating Jews. No, but when they say shit like this, that's reflective of, I hate myself. I don't deserve to live.
You should see what they say about the 10 plagues.
Oh, my God.
Suffering for suffering. The people of Mizraim suffered because of their own leader, who was in part set up by an angry god, eager to demonstrate his own superiority. I didn't even, in our story, this was necessary for freedom.
Can I be funny real quick? When I was little, and, like, I would hear the story of, like, how they were in the desert, and, like, they were thirsty, and so God told Moses to, like, touch the stone, and, like, the water would come out. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And Moses, like, fucking hit the stone because he was angry with God, and then the water came out, and God was pissed because he was like, it doesn't look as much of a miracle if it was, like, forcefully hit. And so he punished Moses by saying he will never see the land of Israel, or, like, be in the land of Israel. And as a kid, I remember thinking, man, that God is a jerk.
Yeah, I mean,
like, one strike and you're out, Moses. Like, Jesus.
But honestly, anyway. Like, yeah, Moses never got to go to Shalvata, so.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so, like, I remember thinking that as a kid. I mean, like, what the fuck, like, God?
Yeah, is this true? Because I just need to read this. Like, the Jews are meant to, like, feel sad about the plagues?
Yeah. That is true.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what they said. Like, you're not supposed to, like, rejoice in other people's tragedy. So, like,
but that's what we do for Purim.
No one's saying there's consistency here.
But, yeah, no, exactly.
But
I'm arguing with you like you're my Hebrew teacher.
Yeah. But, like, okay, no, I think this is different. I think this is different, though, because Haman was actually the bad guy, but the plagues ended up killing people that were just people. So, like, it's kind of like, if Sinwar is killed, I'll be like, but if, like, a Palestinian family gets killed in the war, I'm not, like, celebrating it.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Right? Okay, I would be a good Hebrew teacher.
You would be a good Hebrew. If I had a Hebrew teacher, my Hebrew teachers always, like, yelled. They did not like me. Amelia was in detention every fucking day.
Were you really?
No, I seriously was. I was, like, I was also a piece of shit. But, like,
were you a bad student?
Yeah, especially in, like, the Hebrew classes and Jewish classes.
That's funny.
Yeah. So this, I don't know if this is the, yes, this is it. May the next sea opening not also be a drowning. May our singing never again be their wailing. We shall all be free, or none of us shall be free, because our liberations are intertwined. See collective liberation episode.
Well, fuck the Nuremberg trials, then.
They seriously, if that happened now, they would be like, no. No, they can. The Nazis can work at an interfaith center. It's actually unbelievable.
Also, they would, like, say an interfaith center, not understanding that Nazi anti-Semitism had nothing to do with religion. These are, like, seriously. Oh my God, it's just so sad.
It's so self-deprecating.
It's so sad. Listen, like, I have terrible self-esteem, but not that bad.
Yeah, like, there's an episode of Curb where someone calls Larry a self-hating Jew, because I don't even remember, like, he sang a song that was, like, but, do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah, and he was like, I hate myself, but not because I'm Jewish.
I did. No, literally. Yeah, no, I mean, it's like, self-deprecating, like, I always, like, I'm like, ha-ha, I hate myself, ha-ha, I'm a piece of shit. And, like, well, like, you know, that's, like, kind of true sometimes. Like, I don't truly mean it, as in, like, if I'm gonna have to, like, defend, not that my 411 ass can, like, do anything, but if I have to defend myself, like, it's me. Like, I'm not gonna, like,
These people make, it's just sad, but also you shouldn't talk to yourself like that. One time I was staying at a hotel with my sister. I was in a hotel with my sister and we were about to leave. So I was packing and I put something in like the wrong spot, but it was like, so like, whatever. But I was just like, I'm such a fucking idiot. And she goes, why do you talk to yourself like that? And I was like, oh, there's an option to not. I'm just passing along her wisdom.
Thank you. My aunt's wisdom is being imparted onto me. Baby. Yes. Okay. 2012 Haggadah. Hold on.
Oh my God. It is now time to eat and schmooze with new and old friends and comrades. That's my least favorite word in the world.
That word is on the list.
Forget unlearning. Comrade makes me want to jump.
Yeah. Comrade.
Like, okay, Stalin. Folks, like, who the fuck do you think you are? You're just a fucking, like.
Literally, Stalin.
Middle to upper class fucking kid that lives in Brooklyn. You're not anyone's comrade. Comrade.
That's so funny. There is a Passover message in the front of the Haggadah. I can like put it up here if you want. But it's signed Rabbi Alyssa Wise, JVP, Director of Campaigns. Alyssa Wise has personally embraced Razmia Odeh, who blew up a supermarket in Jerusalem, killing 2 South African students and injuring, I think, 9. There's like pictures of them hugging. I can post them up here too. I've personally spoken with a family member of one of the victims who died there, and she commented on Rabbi Alyssa, like a picture of Rabbi Alyssa saying like, why would you hug the person that like killed my uncle? And like, she disabled comments. Like, it's so.
These people are, like, so insufferable, I can't.
It's the epitome of I'm not like other girls. But to put an orange, symbolizing the Jewish community where women, queer, and transgender people are welcomed and recognized as full value. An orange?
What does an orange have to do with any of that?
I don't know. This is, like, someone actually asked me what I thought about this a few years ago. And I said, like, you know, do what you want, but I feel like this is, like, this is a situation that we had, like, remember when Mr. Potato Head, like, became a woman or something, and, like, Fox News, like, had a field day with it and was like, Mr. Potato Head is going woke, and why does the woke radical left want to change Mr. Potato? And, like, the LGBT community was like, we don't give a shit about Mr. Potato Head, just, like, help us get rights.
Okay, I want to say something. Yes. Jews have survived for a very long time, not to sound like Tevye from The Fiddler on the Roof, but because we very strongly maintained our traditions. There are things that maybe don't apply to a modern society in terms of like inequality or like homophobia or whatever. And sure, like we should work to be more inclusive in our Jewish community of people who are gay or women or whatever, right? But a fucking plate has nothing to do with any of that. It's not like the Passover plate has like something symbolizing that men are superior to women. No. It doesn't. So it's like, why do we have to add shit to it? That's weird.
No, we absolutely, it's fucking weird and it's embarrassing. Like, you don't have to fucking put a special thing on your plate for me. Just, like, don't be an asshole.
Like, I just don't understand. Like, it has nothing to do with that. Like, for example, like, if you don't want to pray separate, then I understand, you know, moving towards changing that or, like, going to a non-Orthodox synagogue. But a plate is not excluding anyone or anything of the sort. So, like, adding shit to it just makes it, like, not Judaism anymore.
Yeah, it makes it hilarious. And, like, I don't know. I don't know why it's giving Christianity, but, like, a lot of this it shit, is. Like, gives well, Christianity.
There's, like, an article from Tablet from a few years ago called "Is Zionism a Part of Judaism?" And it's mm-hmm. a great article that basically talks about how communities have boundaries. Otherwise, the community is not a community because it just is everyone. But to be a member of a community, that means, like, there's a boundary around that community. And you're mm-hmm. you're either in it or not. And
yeah,
these boundaries at some point define what is or isn't a part of that community. And so mm-hmm. he's making the argument that in early Christianity, very quickly, a boundary was created between Judaism and not Judaism, even though the first Christians were Jews. But at some point, the Jewish community collectively decided that believing in Jesus as the Son of God and the Messiah crossed a line into not Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
And so this guy is arguing, like, essentially, he's not saying anti-Zionists are not Jews. He's saying, has a line been crossed that yeah. makes this no longer a part of this community? And shit like adding an orange to a plate that's unnecessary because it's not solving a problem on the plate because the plate is not anti-gay. It crosses, in my opinion, the line into, like, this has nothing to do with Jewish tradition and Jewish community and Jewish boundaries and history or whatever. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Not to be, like, all Freudian and annoying and push you, but yeah. I don't really think this is about the orange.
Well, of course not.
It's, like, it's not, like...
I just feel like the orange is, like, a symbol
of
what these people are doing.
Yeah.
They're just, like, creating, like, trying to blur the boundary between Judaism and not Judaism until everything is Judaism.
Mm-hmm. I really think groups like JV, I'm not going to say groups like JVP, groups that have endorsed terrorism specifically for Judaism, you should be... What's it called? Harem? Like, you should mm-hmm. be out if you have justified terrorism in Israel.
Or anywhere.
Yes, or anywhere. No, but that's, like, no one's really saying, like, no one's out there, no groups are out there saying 9/11 was good, that are, like, in a progressive right. space, that are trying to be Jewish.
Right.
Like, people are saying, like, the Jerusalem bombing, you know, was good.
Now people are saying Osama bin Laden was good, but that's a different issue.
The same, but, like, okay, these, okay, like, JVP has openly, like, invited terrorists who killed Jews to their events.
Yeah.
I think
JVP... Yeah, that's, like, a massive fucking line, like...
Like, that's enough. I think any rabbi associated with JVP, even with JVP, needs to have their rabbinical degrees taken away.
I mean, it's crazy, like, so many of these massive accounts, like, pushing out, like, anti-Israel content are based in Iran and Qatar, like... There's clearly, like, a fucking effort here of pushing disinformation, and I would not be surprised if this effort has penetrated JVP.
Oh, it definitely has. I read a line in this book, like, I made a joke about it on, like, JV parody Twitter, like, mm-hmm. if you've been accused of anti-Semitism, call us and we'll give you our as a Jew services. Yeah. Like, I did it, I thought it was funny, it was a good joke. A year later, I'm reading this book. Like, this is when Ilhan Omar had, like, her first of many anti-Semitic comments, like Israel hypnotized the world. And the book said, in care that day, someone had said, what the fuck, what do we say about Ilhan Omar? Do we respond to this? And then the guy goes, don't respond, get JVP on the phone. I read that and I was like...
That's crazy.
Not surprising, but, you know, you make jokes. Or, like, Rabbi Linda, my favorite, makes a joke and it comes true. Like,
I don't, the lack of, I always think the fact that they still start their comments with as a Jew, even though it's been a fucking massive joke to the Jewish community for years now, shows how out of touch they are with the Jewish community. because they know, or they don't know actually, that the majority of Jews, when we see a comment that starts with "as a Jew," we think it's a joke. But they're still commenting like that because they're not like really that involved with the Jewish community, because if they were, they would know, and they would know that by starting a comment with "as a Jew," no other Jew will take them seriously.
Yeah, and that's like the problem with JVP. It's not necessarily like the danger to the Jewish community, because like the Jewish community like knows that they're a joke, but they have so much visibility and they're just so loud that like all your favorite politicians follow JVP. Like you can go and check now. I guarantee
so many celebrities follow them.
They get so much credit. They go on they interview them on CNN. Like, I'm not understanding.
And it's like the entire Jewish community almost thinks they're a whole fucking joke. But they're speaking for us.
Yeah, and we've said enough is enough. I think. I don't know. Yeah. I think, okay, I know you don't think this makes a difference, but they put something on their website.
Probably in response to our post, but they were just like straw manning, because what they were quote unquote responding to is not the points that we made.
Yeah.
So they're they were saying, for example, that no, they're not based out of Lebanon. They pay taxes in the US. We never fucking said that they don't pay taxes in the US.
I think they've been accused of that, but.
Well, we didn't.
Yeah, we didn't say that. They really got,
we like, didn't even say that they were based out of Lebanon either. We just said they had a social media account based out of Lebanon, which is true.
Which is sketchy as fuck.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know.
If you, just like, word of advice, if you follow like a media account or like any kind of activist account, check where they're based.
Yeah.
If you don't know anything about the country that they're based in, Google Freedom House and then the country. See what they are rated. If they, especially in media and like internet, if they are rated not free or partially free, or not free or partially free, take anything they say with a grain of salt, because where media is, in countries where dissent is crushed, journalists are going to self-censor. People are going to self-censor. Like, that's why this is so important. That's also why. Yeah. We need media literacy in this country. Are we good? Or did you want to?
Yeah, sorry. I got distracted.
No, you're good. You're good.
Is there anything else you want to touch on?
Oh, yes. There is one thing I wanted to touch on. Next year in Jerusalem, next year in Al-Quds, next year in a city of peace. Thank you. That's what it says in the JVP Haggadah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that was a good tip. Should we stop?
Yeah, thank you. We'll see you next year. We'll see you next year in Al-Quds.
Yes, we'll see you guys next year in Al-Quds.